Well, sitting down chatting to Dieter Schottlius about bird ringing. Bird ringing, I'm not too sure whether we're going to dial up and get a bird, but let's find out what on earth is bird ringing and is it easy to do? Dieter, welcome. And of course, bird ringing. What is bird ringing?
Hi, Tim. Bird ringing is the process of catching birds to put rings on their legs normally and measuring them and letting them go again. Now, each ring has its own unique number. This information is archived at the University of Cape Town for Southern Africa and at similar centers throughout the world. And so we can monitor the survival and movement and measurements of birds.
When we say bird ringing in the way that you've described it, is this only certain species we do?
Bird ringers normally target as many different species as possible. There are some who focus on particular species or groups because of their own interests, but most bird ringing is done by putting out mist nets, which are special fine nets that the birds don't normally see, and it's just potluck what you catch. But of course, by going to certain areas, you have an idea of what you might catch. If you want to target specific species, sometimes other methods are needed to try and catch those species.
Easy to do, or is there training? Can anybody walk off the street and say, "That's all right, I'm a bird ringer"?
No, one needs to go through a training process, and the training process is generally done by going out with registered bird ringers. It's not something you can learn from a book, although you can certainly learn a lot about bird ringing from books and from the internet. But in the end, the only way to become a ringer is to go out and get practical experience. There are ringers through most of the cities in South Africa, and then some scattered in different parts, smaller areas.
Have we been ringing for many years?
Bird ringing started in South Africa in 1948. The Ornithological Society at the time decided that we were a bit behind Europe and needed to start our own bird ringing program. And the first birds that were targeted were Cape vultures in the Magaliesberg. So a team of ornithologists went with help from the mountain club and scaled down the cliffs to ring the chicks of the Cape vultures. A year later, one of those young vultures was found dead in Zimbabwe. So within a year, we already had some great movement data.
It is an awful lot of thought process as to the difficulty it must have been at that stage of scaling down cliffs and sort of fighting your way and grabbing hold of a junior chick vulture and slapping a ring on it while mom and dad are busy trying to claw you off the cliff if they possibly can. Now, the different species that we do and the rings that we put on, are they all these little aluminium rings just with a number on them?
All rings are similar in that they have an address. Our rings say Inform Suffering, University of Cape Town, and then there's a number. The sizes, of course, vary greatly depending on the size of the bird's leg, and the material varies slightly. So smaller birds can take aluminium rings, nothing more is needed, but large birds have stainless steel rings. Normally, large birds will survive for longer and maybe in tougher environments, for instance, seabirds in a marine environment and birds of prey have their rings being scraped against rocks and trees, and so the rings do need to be tougher.
When we look at vultures, for example, now I see they've got the tags on the wings. Are those still classed as ringing?
That's still ringing, and those tags may not always last as long as the life of the bird, so metal rings are still provided and put on the birds. But the advantage of patagial tags on the wing or color rings in addition to the metal ring on the legs provide easy ways to monitor birds just by viewing them through binoculars or telescopes. And one doesn't then need to recapture the bird. We've had some amazing records of even migrant birds being resighted with color rings, waders that are given color rings. And so it provides additional information, and we don't have to wait for the bird to die.
That was going to be my next question, and you just took it right out of my mouth, because I was going to say, I've seen some birds with, it looks like a bunch of rubber rings, different colors on their legs. Is that very similar, though, to, for example, rhino, where they notch the ears, and each notch at a different position gives you a different number? Is there a sequence that the different colors and the different positions identifies a bird, or is it only identifying the species?
Normally, people want to have individual recognition, and so you design different colors, 3, 4, 5 rings, and put them on the legs of the birds in a specific sequence. So you build up a whole list, and it needs very careful thought and monitoring in designing your coloring project to have enough combinations to use and provide for the number of birds you want to catch. Very rarely, people will use single color rings to identify just one cohort of birds. So, for instance, for some seabird ringing, every year a different color is used. And so it just identifies the age of the bird when it comes back to breed. And then researchers know that a bird was ringed 3 years ago, for instance.
The rings themselves, do they do any damage to the bird? Or is this a case of, hang on a minute, guys, you wear jewelry on your fingers, you identify yourself by your ring, we're doing the same?
Rings are designed to not injure or harm or obstruct the birds in any way. And someone calculated that the weight of a ring relative to the weight of a bird is less than the weight of your shoe to your body weight. So it really is very light in comparison to the bird's weight. However, very rarely seabirds do get the rings entangled in fishing line. And so there's a moral to the story here, and that is relating to pollution and leaving things lying around in the environment really is not beneficial to birds. Sometimes seabirds get their legs tangled in fishing line even if they don't have a ring. The ring could make it easier to get entangled, but it's not only the ring that's the problem. The problem here really is fishing line lying around.
Yeah, we saw a little while ago, didn't we? We saw that horrific photograph of a bird caught in line. I think it was on Robben Island, if I remember rightly.
Yes, that's correct. So at least on Robben Island, the birds are being monitored. When they get entangled, do try and catch the birds and free the bird.
The work that you do, is it only aimed at species that are endangered, or are we looking at really migratory species and we could almost ring anything?
Oh, most ringers want to catch as many different bird species as possible. The great thing is when ringing happens at one locality on a regular basis. That's the best way to obtain the most information, because then we can start seeing how old birds become, how long they survive, do they stay in the same area, that's called site fidelity, or do they move around? And one can look at the community of the birds as you're catching them on a regular basis. But of course, the exciting thing is catching migrant birds, even getting recaptures from overseas. So people who are interested in swallows or waders are always looking at the net. Is there a bird with a ring on? And is it one from England or Finland or Sweden or some other country? And that, of course, is very exciting.
You did say that we use mist nets, etc., to catch seabirds or rung when they are chicks. Is that sort of your target?
Normally for birds that nest in colonies, seabirds and water birds, often chicks are ringed because they're very easy to catch in large numbers. You just round them up and ring them. And that way also we know the age of the bird if it's found again. We know that it was ringed as a chick. We know exactly how old it is. Other birds that are ringed as adults, we only have a minimum. We know that they're at least so many years old when they're found dead or when they are recaptured, but we don't know their exact age.
Are you still looking for bird ringers in places like South Africa, or is it a case of, forget it, guys, we've got enough?
Oh, no. In South Africa, there are about 120 bird ringers compared to England, where there are 2,000. Don't know why there's so many there, but even in other European countries and America, there really are large numbers of ringers. I guess there are just too many outdoor opportunities in South Africa and people choose to do all sorts of other activities, but we do need more bird ringers. Of course, it is a long process to become a bird ringer, but very exciting and challenging process. And holding a bird in the hand is really amazing. You learn and see things that you would not see in the field. For instance, you can see by blowing the belly feathers away the brood patch when a female is sitting on eggs. You can see the molt, in other words, the growing of new feathers after the breeding season. You can see the preen gland hidden underneath the feathers just above the tail, which is where the bird gets a few drops of oil to waterproof its feathers. And you can see the eye rings or eye patches of guinea fowl and other birds. And so it's really exciting looking at a bird close up.
Well, it does prove that a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Make no error when I listen to that. Now, of course, the last thing I'm going to say, Oscar Dieter, is if you are walking on the beach or in the bush and you find a dead bird with a ring on it, just keep on walking, or else what should we do?
Please report it if it's got a ring on. So always keep your eyes open whenever you see a dead bird and record the ring number, the date, and the place. On our website, which is safring.adu.org.za, there's a menu item called I Found a Bird, and it asks for all the information. You just fill it in online, and we will send a report to you about the history of the bird. So you will know how old it was, if it's moved or was ringed nearby, and get all the information, the species of the bird, and so on. If you want to find dead birds, the best place is to walk along the beach. There's a higher chance of finding a dead bird there than anywhere else, because seabirds are washed up, and because they're large, they take longer to decay. But of course, sometimes birds are killed by cats or by cars. Very unfortunate, but at least if it has happened, do look if the bird has got a ring on.
Well, there we go, folks. As Dieter says, make sure that you look at the bird a little more closely. Look at the leg and see if it does have a shiny little ring. And of course, very importantly, as Dieter says, please bring that information into them at Safring. And that address is Safring, which is safring.adu.org.za. And also, if you are somebody who is interested in birds in more than just simply looking at them, well, you can become involved in a citizen science project. You can become involved as a bird ringer. Yes, it does take time and it takes a lot of training. And that is not only so that you don't get injured by something that's got a beak and is feeling in a grumpy mood, but also so that you don't injure the bird. And I think that is tremendously important. And think of it, when Dieter was talking about it, his face lights up. Because, of course, this is radio, we can't see it. But Dieter's face lights up when he talks about holding that bird in your hand and all the different little things that you can see. And of course, the beauty of it is once you have learnt about the bird, open your hand and it flies away. It's not something that you're going to capture. It's not something that you're going to contain, and you're not injuring it in any way. And then, of course, further down the line, we are able, through those rings, to understand more about the habitat and more about the bird itself. Where does it go? Where does it migrate to? How long does it live? There are a whole lot of sets of information that are usable in science. And after all, science leads to conservation, and that is what is tremendously important to all of us. If you want to find out more about the various projects that the guys at the ADU are involved in, and of course you want to find out more about becoming a bird ringer, on the Safring site there is an email address where you can utilize and contact Dieter. And then also, of course, there is the ADU website, which is simply www.adu.org.za. Go into the website and have a look. Remember, there is the phone project. There is also various areas where the guys, for example, take photographs of birds with strange plumage. And it could be a different form of feather coloring than the ones that you've seen before. So there is all this information. It is all citizen science. It is all involving you, me, and the natural world together. And of course, from that, we all learn. Dieter, thanks very much for joining us. And it's always good talking to you, because you are somebody that is seriously passionate about what you do.
Thanks, Tim, and very well summarized.
That was Dieter Schalios, and of course, Dieter is at the ADU, that website again that you want to find out more about bird ringing, and of course, reporting the rings, even more importantly when you see them, is safring.adu.org.za.